RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Bean. So...
I'm sorry, I had the music playing still.
Oh, well, that's okay. Firstly, I'd like to apologize to everybody for Wednesday's podcast. I got a few emails and also our producer saying, Tracy, is there any way for you to be louder? And I realized it was because I had my volume halfway down on OBS. We're back.
We're back to normal.
I'm very close to the microphone now.
Well, what a day yesterday was, huh?
Anything happened? So much to talk about. I crashed your show last night, of course.
It wasn't a crashing. It was beautiful. It's what I need more of.
I felt horrible for doing it.
Why?
Because of Matt. Poor Rob.
Rob. Well, I had Rob and Sherry there, and we were talking about it, and you guys were posting. You guys were publishing things as the thing was going on. It was all real time. It felt like a real operation here.
It was, but I stepped all over poor Rob, and I felt horrible about it. I wasn't really like paying attention to that what he was saying fully because I was looking for that clip, and I couldn't hear it and listen to your show at the same time. You see what I'm saying? So
I get you.
Anyway, deepest apologies. I hate doing that. So
sorry.
Arizona audit hearing yesterday, and it was something. We read on the show last night the senator from the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and what they actually said.
Yeah.
During it, which
yeah.
comical. They said, "Not saying there's fraud." Just holding an official live event questioning every part of a certified election, but only focused on one county, prior to the release of an official report, with only two of 30 senators present, end quote, Karen Fan, essentially.
So because there weren't more, because more senators didn't take it seriously, everything that was presented means nothing, and the fact that everything that was presented only covers a fraction of, maybe just a fraction of what the full story was in that single county, that one county. I mean, that should be a very serious indicator of some of a large scale picture here. But of course, they try to use their smarminess. Did you see? I don't know why you would, but my buddy sent me a seven minute clip. I can only get through about half of it. Listening to Rachel Maddow laugh her way through the retelling of yesterday's events, not really going on into what was found, but just these little smarmy, sad jokes that weren't landing. Things about the name Cyber Ninjas, and just trying to smear everybody and make it all seem like a big joke that was only supposed to go on for a couple of weeks, but is now going on into many months, and it's become a very lucrative fundraising scam and all that stuff. It's truly amazing, because I knew that the media kamikazes were getting themselves ready for their primetime spots on television and for their Twitter accounts and all that stuff. And boy, oh boy, was it pathetic to see her twist. They should start putting a laugh track on Rachel Maddow's show, because it'll make her jokes seem a lot less sad.
That's all she's done over the past couple weeks. It's
you
her whole
hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? We'll play a little bit of it. There are some people who are complaining that we're playing too much of their nonsense. But I counter that with saying, you know what? If we're going to talk about current events, we need to cover what these people are saying.
Well, especially since you got to remind yourself that all along the way, we're never going to get an inch. No, not an inch, not one inch.
Like, I know you guys, no, and they don't want to hear it. And I get it. You know, they turned off MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, but I think it's important. And we're going to get into some heavy analysis today. So let's lighten it up a little bit with some of this idiot. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Here, since it's been, whatever. I can just play it over here.
I think so.
Wait a second. Here we go. Wait.
I'm waiting.
Has been driven, as you know, it has at least dovetailed with this increasingly insane Jeremiah from former president.
Well.
What?
Wait. I'm sorry. For some reason, the Deftones started playing. What the hell happened here? Gotcha. All right. Well, yeah, that's the Deftones, everyone. I'm sure everybody's going to go out and get the album.
I mean, on the Republican side, it has been driven, as you know, it has at least dovetailed with this increasingly insane Jeremiah from former President Trump that he didn't lose the 2020 election. There must have been terrible fraud. And he insists that Republicans who support him must lead weird inquisitions
weird?
Into the 2020 vote weird. All over the country. And then, of course, proclaim that really he was the real winner and he should be named president
How
now.
How does she live with herself?
I don't know. It's so sad. Listen, like I said, it goes on for 7 minutes. I'll play a minute more because you can get the point here.
All right.
Today, Arizona Republicans who are doing their so-called audit
so-called.
In Arizona. They gave a briefing on their progress. Only two Republican senators were there, but they tried to call it a hearing. This was this audit that they're doing.
Stumbling over herself, just completely ridiculous.
In Arizona, they launched it in April. They said it would take 3 weeks. It's, of course, now mid-July, and they're still going strong.
Yeah.
They made clear today that they're definitely finding all the fraud they've been fantasizing about, but it's definitely going to take lots more investigation, lots more materials, probably lots more donations from Trump supporters nationwide. It looks like they...
What? Okay, first of all, this is the same person that was all behind a three-year-long special counsel investigation into literally nothing.
Oh yeah, and embarrassed herself with the one page of tax returns that proved that Trump paid more taxes than her own home network did.
It's crazy. And then
so pathetic.
Yeah, and on top of that, what does she care if Trump supporters donate their money to this? She should be happy if she thinks they're wasting their money.
Yeah, well, it's all about nothing to see here, because of course she doesn't go into any details. She just wants whoever is left watching this crap and whoever is left syndicating her crap on other digital platforms just to say nothing to see here. It's so absolutely ridiculous. Just like the whole, release the memo thing. Don't do it. Oh, don't do it. You cannot put this memo. You don't do it. And then when it comes on out, oh, that's it? There's nothing there.
Oh, this is such a joke. You guys think you had something on us?
It's ridiculous.
Freaking morons. I just want to play this clip from Jovan from yesterday at 3:48, and then we're going to dive into a real good overview of what was found yesterday or what they announced yesterday. Here we go.
Okay, guys, so I know you're wanting more exact information. Here's what I would basically say for you. In something this big, when there's well over 2 million ballots and you have, 1,500 people working on them, think of that as just a big spread, like a big feast that everything's having to be dived into. What you saw today, of course, will make you drop your jaw. All I can say right now is don't think today was it, because you only got served the aperitif, which is the smallest of all the appetizers. There's more to come.
I believe him.
Aperitif.
Aperitif it was. And what an aperitif we're talking about here. So Wendy wrote a fantastic piece for Uncover DC yesterday that literally is a guide to the entire hearing from start to finish. I know now the video that they showed in the beginning of it, they showed this video explaining, the process and what they did and all that stuff at the beginning of the hearing. Just to kind of like quell anybody who is thinking that this thing wasn't like, and to prove a point, Frank, that if anybody thinks that they're going to be challenging any of this and saying, oh, they added ballots or they subtracted ballots or they did this or they did that or blah, blah, blah. Every single step of this thing has been taken with the understanding that if they go to court or if somebody challenges them, they're going to need to prove otherwise to whatever they're throwing at them, right?
Yeah.
So they've got everything documented and they didn't do any of the things that somebody could possibly throw at them. So it was kind of like, from an analysis standpoint, in my opinion, a shot across the bow, like, hey, guys, don't even think about, accusing us of stuffing ballots or mistreating ballots or whatever. We have it all on tape. Petabytes of information on tape.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So I guess that is what? How many terabytes is a petabyte?
2,000 terabytes or 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte.
What?
Yeah. So think of all the video that they have and the clarity of it.
Well, then again, this is months. This is months worth of video.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, you're talking about probably 4K at this point. I mean, that's what I would assume, right? So
wow.
I'm just assuming. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm assuming. So there's that. And there are several things that were found or that were exposed yesterday. There were significant issues with ballot batches being properly identified. So the voting center, you know, either they didn't put the right number of ballots in the box, they marked them incorrectly. There was a batch number on some of them and not others. Some of them had cut seals. Batch counts were not matching. Duplication was a big, big problem. Ken Bennett, who's the Senate liaison to the audit, came out and said yesterday that 2,089,563 ballots were processed in total. 1.9 million of those were through the mail at Central Count. Think about that. 1.9 million mail-in ballots at Central Count. And 168,000 of them at the 171 polling locations. In many cases, there are these pink sheets that are supposed to be associated with the ballots. They weren't documented. There are other sheets that there were supposed to be with this stuff that they didn't even know about. Like, so Maricopa County didn't provide them to them. They didn't even know that they were a part of the process. The only way they found out was through FOIA.
Mm.
So a group FOIA'd for this stuff. Maricopa County didn't provide it to the auditors, but the FOIA produced it. And these are these blue sheets that they could use to explain some of the discrepancies that they came across while they were doing it. So Mrs. Maddow, they said it was going to take 3 weeks. We're now July.
You know, and it's even little things like that. They said it's going to take 3 weeks, and here we are in July, and it's one county. What do you think that they were doing when you have nearly 2,000 people working around the clock on this stuff? Is that an indicator that they're just, what, playing Parcheesi?
Yeah, yeah. They're standing on the side, just kind of like hanging out, drinking coffee, you know.
Yes. Yeah. God.
Like, they why do they care? That's the thing. Like, no reasonable person can answer. Let them prove, let them show the election was good so everybody can go on with their lives and believe it.
Yeah, exactly. But no. They even have armed guard. These people have to be escorted around with armed guards. No.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
So.
Doug Logan and Cypher. Yeah. Sad. So next, they couldn't get the county board of supervisors to even cooperate with them at all. Obviously, we already know that, given their statement that they came out with yesterday. These freaking losers. There was also discussion of the ballot paper, which is interesting to me for several different reasons. The paper is a certain paper. Maricopa County sent out a Just the Facts flyer in June of 2021. And the flyer shows the details on how the ballots are used and what happens. It's like, it says, did you know some of these ballots are returned damaged or on a ballot card that cannot be read? As mandated by law, these ballots must be duplicated onto a new ballot by two member teams of differing parties, blah, 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 blah. And then they talk about the barcodes, the timing marks, what kind of... See, I'm not seeing on here anymore, but they said what kind of paper was used on here, but I have to look into that. I'm just doing it on the fly here. It's linked in the article.
Yeah.
There were significant differences in the paper in many instances. Bleed through. Remember Sharpie Gate?
Now, yeah, okay. And this is different from the printing error thing with the targets?
Both related, but different.
Okay.
They're related only because the bleed through and the printing defect go hand in hand on the ballot. Because let's say you have bleed through on a ballot and the printing defect is at a certain point where the scanner is now looking to the place where the bleed through went for their vote. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's why it comes in. But there was bleed through that caused overvote and all kinds of other issues. And then there were ballot offsets in 168,000 of the on-demand election day ballots due to poorly aligned printing issues. Over 3,000% off. That's 168,000 votes.
That's what I'm saying. All of these states, you take one angle. It's almost like which how many angles do you want to make up for the difference? From how many angles can you make up for a difference of a mere 10,000 votes? Here in Georgia. That's what I'm saying. You can only do this kind of a thing. You can only run away with this kind of a sloppy ass operation if everybody of consequence in the media and on the inside is there to help prop it up. It's the only way, because once everybody agrees to declare what is going on to be legitimate, then it's just a matter of I dare you to say otherwise. If you say otherwise, you're going against all the official the official channels, and therefore it's insurrection, or it's something, it's rebellion or something like that. Well, it's just so sloppy. The only way that you can sell this is if that's the biggest reason why
it's still not working.
I know, because look at Rachel Maddow, for example. She goes on for another 6 minutes just cracking jokes and just demeaning anybody involved with this operation, but they're not actually looking into what's there. Because if you start looking into what's there, then even the most sleepy of viewers at home watching this would go, well, I mean, is this actually debunked, or what's
– Yeah,
that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whose votes were disenfranchised? I mean, these aren't all Republican voters
right, that
are being disenfranchised here. There are some Democrats, I'm sure, mixed into the mix here.
Absolutely.
So there's that. There's more. There's so much more in just the short hearing. Mail-in votes, illegal late registrations, and voters who magically appear. This is huge. There were 74,243 more ballots received than were sent out.
My favorite is, what's the statistic about those who were not registered on November 7th, but were on the rolls by December 4th? Go ahead.
Yeah, that is my next point.
Okay.
There were 11,326 people who didn't show up in election files on November 7th, but suddenly appeared on December 4th, marked that they had voted in the 2020 election. Also, 3,981 voters were registered after October 13th, which is a deadline that is mandated by the Constitution in Arizona, who voted. And 18,000 voters who voted were shown to have been removed from the rolls right after the election. So that's it right there. And then there's the forensic part of things, like from the cyber perspective. That was just the ballots and voter rolls. Our elections are shot in this country. Anyone who says they're not is out of their freaking minds. Did you see yesterday, I think Finch shared it with us, the German prime minister or minister came out and said we can't.
We got to go to paper ballots.
Unlike America, like basically acknowledging without saying it that our elections were stolen.
Now, and it's interesting, too, because, of course, Germany and all of those European nations have a lot of problems. But and it also goes to that doesn't, you know, there's no telling how much election fraud is not something that happened once we went to digital systems. The ballot stuffing has been around since there was ever a ballot box to rig. But in modern day, there are many high-tech ways to secure physical paper ballots now that never existed before.
Yes.
It's the same way that it's becoming harder and harder to counterfeit cash. It's the same way that people who really want to be able to secure an election and have something physical and accountable to be there, it's possible now more than ever before. So,
you know,
it's not naive.
Our friend Mark Fincham, who's been on the show a few times with us now, running for Secretary of State in Arizona, has, you know, introduced a certain paper that would take care of that problem.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it seems like there are other companies that have already done this for these elections, apparently, you know, looking at what was revealed yesterday. So there's that. Then there's the forensic side of things. Like I was just saying, Frank, the actual computer forensics, which is, you know, how many different ways to cheat, right? I mean, how many different ways have these people cheated? It's all over the place to the point where it's almost ridiculous. It's almost ridiculous. It's almost like, well, which one do we even focus on? The whole election is a complete freaking sham. So these machines that were installed in Arizona, these Dominion machines that they just voted to spend $3 million more trying to replace, had no antivirus updates or system security patches ever since the installation of the software in August of 2019. No operating updates or patches have ever been applied. And additionally, they can't be certified that way, by the way. In March, 3,000, okay, this is a huge one. In March of this year, 37,646 queries hit the system for a blank password on a system that only contained 8 accounts, i.e. somebody ran a script which flooded the log that it deleted. So the log only keeps 20 megadata. And so when this script was run, it flooded that log with these, you know, with the alerts that somebody was trying to get these passwords. And it erased all of the other parts of the log that they needed to do their audit. What a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Very interesting.
It's just a huge coincidence, I'm sure. I mean, you know, why would anybody think any differently? Just a big coincidence. So there's a way to figure out what happened there, but the county is saying they don't have access to the passwords to give that information. And the quote coming out of Cypher yesterday was, if you as a county can't validate independent of the vendor, how do you validate an election system is safe to vote on? I would suggest, based on evidence, Maricopa County does not have the ability to verify EMS configuration independent of Dominion officials. I.e., Dominion is now literally the arbiter of Maricopa County elections, and Maricopa County officials have nothing they can do about it.
And what is this I see that that Maricopa County, they play whatever kind of role they can in the optics game, just like Rachel Maddow will. The only thing that she can do is make jokes. What is this I hear that Maricopa County is looking to replace all of their machines with more Dominion because they say they don't know what the auditors have done to the machines, so they're trying to make it like this audit may have been some kind of a sabotage mission along the way.
Yeah, like they're saying that these machines are now tampered with, we can't trust them. It's basically they're trying to prove, or they're trying to say, like, if we don't change these out, then we can't be comfortable with them anymore. And
and of course, to show solidarity once again with Dominion. Oh, there's nothing ever wrong, so we want to buy from them again. What we're really worried about are the opposition auditors.
And not only that, what they're showing with that to any other state that wants to take up the audit is we're going to replace these machines. You had better have the $4 million in your budget to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, not for nothing, but yesterday they went through an exhaustive list of reasons why that's nonsense. Like they never, like what they used to make sure they preserved those machines in the exact same state that they were, how that it can be proven that that's true. Just the absolute absurdity of the thought that they would need to replace these machines.
So what comes next? Because they finished with this one county.
They're not even close to finish with this one county.
All right. So then is this going to is this going to give them enough leverage to expand to the entire state?
Well, I think what ends up happening is, as this is, you know, moves along, there's still more to go through. I can't not talk about this stuff today, so we have to get through the rest of this. But
okay.
At the end of the day, if the audit is finished, the report's delivered, and it seems as though there was absolutely, there was horrible instances of fraud here, then it is an automatic trigger for the rest of the state. It goes right to, I believe, through Arizona law, it goes right to the attorney general there in Arizona, who is the same attorney general who wrote that letter back to the Garland Justice Department, keep your hands off of our elections.
Yeah.
So it seems as though, you know, it'll skip over the Secretary of State, so we won't have to worry about the Secretary of State in Arizona. I forget her name off the top of my head. I don't know why. But we'll skip right over her. And she'll just have to sit by. She's a lefty like none other. And she'll just have to sit by and watch as the attorney general hopefully does something and oversees an audit in every single county in Arizona. And it needs to, now that they're getting through, like you're seeing the same thing. We published a report today on Uncover DC about Pennsylvania, right? And you're seeing that they're denying Mastriano's request for the machines and the things that they need to be able to do their audit there. So what my thought is that they're just going to obfuscate and go to court and threaten and blah, 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 without, you know, with impunity until they're literally held up against the wall somehow and need to provide this stuff. I mean, it's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. I have a couple clips to play. One of them is Sonny Borelli that will kind of maybe lend a little bit more towards what you're saying. I'm going to play two different sections of this. I'm going to start at 3. This is right after the hearing yesterday. Sonny Borelli is the other senator there.
But our subpoena power is still in effect. Our investigative authority does not end at sine die. We can issue another subpoena. If we need to, it has to go to court, we'll go to court. Now, there's other tools in the toolbox that hasn't been used yet, and we're waiting. So hopefully we're going to, they'll cooperate and come to the table and answer the subpoena and cooperate with the Senate. Once again, there's another tool in the toolbox that hasn't been used yet, and we will use that when we need it. And I don't want to say too much on that, but there it is. Just because we're out of session, you know, like I said, when the complete audit is done, they're going to bring those results to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the Senate Judiciary Committee will make recommendations if there's findings that things need to be referred to the Attorney General for legal action, for criminal action, or we need to do something as prospectively. Anyway, we established another committee, a joint House and Senate committee for election integrity, and we can refer it to that special committee. That committee can come in anytime that's being called in, and they can examine and make recommendations of what they need to do next. If something warrants that we need to come in for a special session, that committee will establish the need for a special session, and then the governor can call ourselves in, or another way of doing things. It kind of just depends on, you follow the evidence where the evidence takes you, and because there's a lot of room there on what things that can be done and cannot be done.
And then,
well, I know, you know,
got that, and then 7 minutes, I believe. Hold on. Here we go.
So, you know, bottom line is they need to clean up their own backyard before they start pointing fingers at the state Senate. Because what we're doing, trying to do, is we're actually trying to serve the people of Arizona, Maricopa County. And Maricopa County voters need to step up to the plate and start holding their feet to the fire, the county supervisors. Because they're coming out with all this defensive stuff, trying to defend their turf, when they really have, they should be coming to the table to find out, did they get breached? And let's get to the bottom of this. Their duty and should be duty and honor bound to do so. So I'll let it go with that.
He's not having it. He's really not. And we had Wendy Rogers, I believe, came out yesterday, senator in Arizona, and said enough is enough. I have seen now all kinds of different things. We need to recall our electors and do this thing over again.
Well, recalling the electors. This is where we start getting into some really interesting places. Let's do some math here.
Okay.
2020 electoral map. Let's see. 2020 election map. Where the hell is the official end here? Biden 258, Trump 125. Is that what they said? No, that's not right. No, that's not even 270. Where's the end?
The end?
Or the end result of the election.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Oh wait, Biden 306, Trump 232.
Yes.
Now, of course, this map doesn't have any of the electoral.
Arizona has 11.
Okay, so let's take out our handy dandy calculator. I mean, this doesn't mean anything aside from just trying to figure out what the hell this means. So 306, you minus 11.
Minus 20 for Pennsylvania.
Minus 20 for Pennsylvania.
And minus and 16 for Georgia.
Minus 16 for Georgia. That's 259.
Oh, well.
Now, listen, 270 is not a magic number. It's just a threshold for a majority. If there is ever a situation where some states can't come in on a deadline, their electoral college votes are really just eliminated, and then there's a new threshold there. So even with that, he's at 259 and Trump is at 232.
Well, that's if you don't...
If you don't apply it to the other side.
Yeah.
So... this is just so fascinating here because there's what the hell happens then? Is the official ledger switched, but we still have an inaugurated fraud in the White House? And we just have to stay. Is that just like something he has to campaign against? Is it just a smear, or is there actually a situation where, I don't know, people already believe that there's two presidents.
So Larry Schweikert did a thread on this very thing because he's the historian that he is. Hold on. And basically I can't find it right now, but what he said was he said it looks like there's no pathway constitutionally there's no way to do this. Like, there's no way to. At least it's never been done before. We've never been in a situation like this before. But his basic premise ended up on the fact that you would need to have a Senate that actually stood up and had some balls. And
the real balls, Tracy, and I said it last night and yesterday afternoon. The real balls is realizing that we are not talking about some kind of a weird glitch in several states, because these are only three major states that could tip the balance here. There's more. There's Wisconsin and there's Michigan and God knows what's going on in Nevada. Who knows how close the race got in places like California for real? Because as we were talking about before with two guests ago, very rightfully said that states like California and New York is really where Democrats soak the country for that popular vote total. They'll just soak it because everybody expects those states to be cobalt blue and nothing more.
Yeah.
But, you know, the real thing here is it's not because of a glitch, and it's because of an act of war. So, you know, that's why it's so unprecedented here. Of course, if you had a Congress that all had one thing in common, even if they all had slightly different opinions on how we should govern ourselves and how the Constitution should be applied and this and that and how we solve problems. If everybody had love of country and the future of this country in mind, and they all loved it for the same reason, then this would not be a problem. There could be a solution to be worked out, because there never would be a problem like this in the beginning. But it's almost like it was an act of war. War was declared in a very unconventional way. So to even say if we had a Senate with balls, maybe we can go through this. Well, the real balls are going to be, what do you do with the thousands of people who were involved in this? We're talking thousands of people. From very high up to very low down. You know how many thousands of Ruby Freemans there are out there?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Who drove trucks and who I mean, this is an unbelievable attack.
I think at the end of the day, like, now that it's safe, quote, now that, you know, there are people that weren't on board with the whole fraud thing, thought we were all crazy for even thinking about it. who are now like report, like Tucker, it took him how long to talk about this?
Yeah.
I mean, it took him forever to talk about this. So now that there are those people that are starting to speak out, that's why we have Twitter with their disclaimer. There was no widespread fraud. There is no proof of fraud, said the fact checkers. These people are clinging on to every last hope.
Says
they
the fact checkers and the outlets that gave themselves a responsibility to declare Joe Biden the winner in the first place. AP and factcheck.org and parts of Fox News too.
Do you remember we played Rudy Giuliani saying who called it? Who called the race? And they're like, well, the press. She goes, oh, the press. The press called it. Since when do the press in this country get to call a presidential election?
Now, I guess, because they're all in on it. That was their role. They all got their scripts and they looked open. They opened the front book and they matched their name with the role and the character description. And that's that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It really is. So there's Arizona for now. There's much more to come. And it sounds to me like Sonny Borelli is not interested in platitudes and nonsense. They're not interested in platitudes and nonsense. So there is that happening. I also have, my gosh, I have so many texts. I can't. Georgia. The rats start fighting. Fulton's Rob Pitts goes against SOS Raffensperger for calling for his resignation and takeover of Fulton election. So Rob Pitts is the chairman of the Fulton County Board of Commissioners. And he is the one who came out and said, I know there were no shenanigans. And Raffensperger is sitting there like, oh, crap. Everything that I've said is coming back to bite me in the ass. They're actually figuring this out. What am I going to do? And so he's starting to say that the state needs to come in and take a hold of the Fulton County election system because it's obviously horrible. So now they're fighting amongst each other. There is no honor amongst thieves, Frank.
Fulton, not at all.
I mean, Fulton County's election stuff was exposed by a left-leaning media organization. Did you know that?
No.
So, yeah, the hold on, I'm going to pull up the article written by Michelle. Or no, Wendy. It was written by Wendy. A new press release posted by Voter Georgia unveils stunning claims of election fraud that have been added to a 27-page amended complaint filed by them. But there was, this came out, and then I'm looking at a Dropbox now. I'm trying to find the name of the, I think it's the Atlanta, Georgia Constitution or something. Hold on. I'm trying to find it. It's here somewhere. But basically, they were looking to be able to defend adjudication when they requested this information from Fulton County. They were granted it. And then they found duplicate ballots scanned in, as we saw on video over and over again. I'll never forget that senator from Georgia who sat there after she watched the video and said, this isn't true.
Yes. Yes.
Like the look.
Well, it's the same play as when we were listening to the fact checker with Jack Posobiec on Steve Bannon's show.
Yes.
Did you just hear Joe Biden's voice?
Yes. It's the same. And I said it then too. I mean, there are literally audit sheets with people's names on them that are redacted. That discuss, they're fabricated vote totals on them. I mean, you can't, this is, everyone, like yesterday when you FaceTimed me and you're like, but what's the actual, I mean, you could say anything you want, guys, like press out there. You could say this is all, it's the literal sheets. I mean, what else are you gonna, how far are you gonna gaslight people before you, do you think these people are stupid? Like there is a small contingent of the population that's really dumb. But most people, when shown this stuff, oh, well, you know, what? It wasn't enough. Yes, actually, yes, it was. It was enough. Like, who cares if it wasn't enough, even if it did exist? I don't understand. And it's funny, like Rachel Maddow was flipping out about how we're auditing Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Senate wants to audit the election. Good. President Trump won by 64% to like something, 30 something. And Maddow's like, haha, look at these. Trump won. Why would they want to look into that? Because we care about the sanctity of our vote, you dumb.
But she knows that it's just, she's just being obtuse. They have to play this act where they're very, very, very slow to understand what's going on here, and very erratic and crazy behavior coming from people. It's almost fascinating to watch these right wingers act with no, just, I don't know, no sense whatsoever. It's the same act over and over again.
The funniest thing too is, hold on, this letter coming to the chair of the Senate Oversight Committee in Georgia. He sent it out yesterday. Dear Chairman Harbin, I'm writing you today to formally request an investigation by the Senate Government Oversight Committee into the numerous and documented failures of Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in his official capacity as chief elections official leading up to and during the 2020 elections. As chair of our committee, you have the authority and discretion to do blah, 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 blah. He has to testify is basically what they're saying. Here's a bunch of different things that happened. Indisputable things. Change of address issues previously either ignored or unreported by the Secretary of State's office, indicating as many as 35,000 Georgians potentially voted illegally. Not only am I going to say that, but I'm going to say they took resources in Georgia to investigate Lynn Wood for voting illegally in Georgia, but have not looked into any of this. Second, Fulton County's rampant mismanagement and potentially incriminating voter fraud, including newly uncovered evidence of double counting of votes, forged tally sheets, and duplicate ballots. The unlawful compromise settlement agreement of release and release, the consent decree, which made it more difficult for election officials to flag potential absentee ballots for fraud that were signed by Raffensperger on March 6, 2020 without review. That is the Stacey Abrams pact that he signed with her without anybody knowing. The failure to obtain and verify chain of custody documents for numerous counties, including Fulton County, that are missing for thousands of ballots cast, and updates on more than 250 investigations allegedly opened by the Secretary of State's office regarding issues surrounding the 2020 election. In other words, listen, the evidence is mounting. It's not just one thing here anymore.
That's the best part about it, though. That's the best part about it, and best and scariest part, because now there's fewer places to run.
Yeah. Yep. And I have a clip here, a few clips from the hearing yesterday that we can listen to real quick before we move on. I know we're spending a lot of time on this today. I want to get to South Africa. I have a clip from someone who's in South Africa telling me about what's going on there.
I can't wait to hear it.
You've seen the chaos, haven't you?
Of course I have, yeah.
Yeah, some interesting stuff. But here.
So for example, we have 74,243 mail-in ballots where there is no clear record of them being sent. And just to be clear, here in the state of Arizona, there's EV-32s and EV-33s. EV-32s is supposed to give a record of when a mail-in ballot is sent, and an EV-33 is supposed to give a record of when the mail-in ballot is received. And so there should be an equal, you know, there should be more EV-32s, more sent out than there are that are received. Specifically with these, we can tie them to a specific individual that was mailed to. And so we have 74,000 where we have them came back from individuals where we don't have a clear indication that they were ever sent out to them.
Okay. That's enough right there. Like, what the hell?
Yep. Enough right there. It's like, from how many angles do you want to untie this mess?
As an aside real quick, if you want to know anything about the recent document dump in regards to Seth Rich, John Nevin, a contributing reporter for Uncover DC, has covered those in detail. It's on the website. I'll put it in the show notes. Some interesting stuff in there. Here.
So we have also seen some interesting things related to the voter rolls. So for example, we have 11,326 people that did not show up on a November 7th version of the voter rolls that should have been after votes were cast, but then appeared on the December 4th voter rolls. And just be clear, they show as voted in this past election, but they were not.
I'm just going to stop it there. So they weren't on the voter rolls in November, but in December when they checked, they were there and they were marked as voting in November. Okay. And again, this is all information that they're gathering outside of having to have been provided it by the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors.
Incredible.
Can you imagine if Biden lost and let's just say there was this amount of fraud in Trump's favor, what would be happening in this country right now?
We don't even have to imagine.
There would be riots.
Riots, you wouldn't need that. It would have been corrected a long time ago. It would have been a bipartisan effort. Mitch McConnell and everybody would have, Lindsey Graham would have, we need to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing. This would have been taken care of a long, long time ago. Maybe protests.
Yeah.
Maybe protests as it is being cleaned up, but there would be no need for riots because it would not have been dragged on.
The media
certainly wouldn't have been helping Donald Trump brand the legitimacy of the fake office of the president-elect. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. They helped out in every respect, with every optical angle necessary to just help Joe Biden act as if and move on. Mm. They helped. Everybody did.
Looks like we might have Sonny Borelli as a guest on the show.
Sweet.
Yeah. Just talking with them now. Would love to get him on. Maybe.
And who's his wife?
I don't know.
Deneen? Is that Deneen?
Oh, Sonny? I don't think so.
Are those the Borellis?
I don't know. Let me see.
From Patriot, Sirius XM Patriot? Why do I... That sounds familiar. Like a husband and wife duo on a Sirius XM Patriot I used to hear years ago.
Well, Deneen Borelli is great.
But
is Deneen Borelli's... Tom Borelli is...
Tom Borelli. Okay. So they're not related? Just same last name?
Yes.
Okay. So either I knew Borelli's... Maybe that's what I was thinking about when you said it. So I don't know who we're talking about here.
Sonny Borelli is the senator that we were just playing the clip of.
Right, right. Yeah,
he's
now I know.
Hardcore. So here is what's going on in South Africa where there are riots and craziness everywhere.
Tracy, it's nice to chat to you again, just by the way. We should do a live stream again. But have a bit of a catch up. We can find a reason to do a live stream. It's always nice chatting to you. To answer your question, why is this happening? Yes, that's a million-dollar question. I don't know the answer, and nobody does. But the official line is that it is linked to the arrest of Jacob Zuma, the former president of the country, for corruption charges, etc. However, while I agreed with the initial resistance to his arrest, and that's a whole conversation on its own, but the arrest of him supposedly led to a massive sort of tribal uprising. Okay, so as you can imagine, there are multiple cultures in South Africa, one of them being Zulu, and Jacob Zuma himself is a Zulu, and so there was a very strong sort of Zulu resistance to his arrest and a very sort of big loyalty to him and to defending and protecting him. And then something I think conspiratorial happened. I think that there has been an orchestrated attempt that has bled over from that initial resistance into just absolute chaos and ungovernance of the country. It's hard to prove, but I have a suspicion it might be related to that. There's a lot of talk in the various circles that this is what's happened. A lot of it is just too well orchestrated, Tracy, for it to be random chaos.
There's that.
I was going to talk about that tonight, to be honest.
He'll come on and talk with you.
Well, that would be wonderful.
I mean, he lives there in South Africa.
That would be wonderful, because I have questions. I knew about the official line there about the ex-president being arrested for corruption. But then you look at the level of destruction and pretty much societal suicide that has come in its wake. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And then other things like seeing the response from the state to quell this kind of widespread violence has been nothing. Like 2,500 troops have been deployed to keep the peace, whereas to enforce all of the virus lockdown regulations, 75,000 were deployed throughout the country.
So I met him because he was reaching out to me on our early work on COVID. Because they were under, like you're saying, complete and total lockdown there during COVID. Right. And there was a documentary actually that was being made about that specifically. I don't remember if I did the interview for it or not. I think I did. I don't remember if I did, but there was a South African documentary that was being made about COVID. The craziest thing, and I can't find the clip right now, I asked him if his country is mandating vaccination. And what he replied to me is so interesting. I'm going to pause the show to find it because we need to play it here. Hold on.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm recording now. So you said all that great stuff for no reason. I wish you could have. Hold on.
Oh, I didn't think we were recording. I thought we were just talking.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you're so smart. Matter. I mean, you know, you're the same. I couldn't tell. Basically.
Yeah, I'm the same off air than I am on air. Yeah. It's just a constant stream of brilliance.
Me too. We're so smart, Frank. And I'm so close to the microphone. I hope this is okay for everyone out there today. Okay. Here is what he had to say about mandatory vaccination without me even saying anything to him about it. I think.
End game. Man, now you're asking a question I can't answer. Is there ever an end game to this kind of stuff? If you want a very bland answer, I can say, I don't know. But I do think there is an end game, and I think it's very much linked to Agenda 2030. I think it's linked to sort of a Marxist undercurrent. It's certainly left-wing politics at play. It's an excuse to make the country ungovernable. It's to bring down the overall prosperity, to make as many people poor and dependent on the state as possible. I can't prove any of that, but that is my gut feeling. With regards to mandatory vaccination now, that's an interesting question. The government has specifically said that vaccination will not be mandatory, but here's the thing, it's all lies. Because what they're doing is that they're outsourcing the vaccination policy to the sort of private sector.
Ah.
So the government will say, yes, it's your choice. But then various companies are implementing vaccination programs. And if you don't get vaccinated, you can no longer work there. It's very sneaky. So the government still looks like it's, you know, not mandating vaccines. But the truth of the matter is the government is trying to vaccinate the entire country. And there are a lot of us who will not buy into that. And so a lot of people are willing to lose their jobs as a result of that.
Doesn't sound like here. A lot of people aren't willing to lose their jobs because of that here.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. And like I said before, this is very important stuff. And whereas it's world news, it also should be it should be taken note of by everybody here. I've said it for a few years now. I've said it at least a couple of times on this show. We are on the South African trajectory, especially when it comes to social justice, because social justice is just a mask for cultural Marxism. Marxism, communism is just a tool for a global elite that knows how to destroy national stability and how to be able to take an entire planet under the umbrella of its power and its influence. And in different places, they expose different societal wounds that have healed for the most part. And then, of course, you you expose them again. They couldn't do that in Russia in 1917 because everybody out there is pretty much white. But so they play the class warfare thing. But, you know, there's a history of apartheid in South Africa. We had a human chattel slavery in the U.S. that they go and they try to create 21st century race wars with. They're doing all this on. There's definitely nothing about this that screams, oh, yeah, they're burning their entire country down. And the government has withdrawn any significant portion of the same forces they put on out there to enforce COVID. Mandates for COVID. Yeah, this is all because they arrested a former president, 100%.
Just like during COVID here, when George Floyd and his death and we had flouting of COVID restrictions, maskless people standing within inches of one another, whatever. And the thing that I just wanted everybody to take home with them is that, again, I did not explain to him what was going on with vaccination in the United States. He responded, his answer was straight organic, like, oh, it's interesting what they're doing here. Well, that sounds freaking familiar, doesn't it?
It's a worldwide operation. Mm-hmm. And it is completely connected to what's going on in Arizona and around the country with the election, too, because the 2020 election was pivotal for making sure that there was going to be at least amount of resistance in getting the United States to go along with what the grand plan for the planet is.
He said, just when you think it couldn't get worse after Biden, quote, won, I was embarrassed for America. Your country is a disgrace at the moment, and it's not your fault.
See.
So we'll end with that. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday!
Later!